It's 23 to 8 on Breakfast. The federal government has confirmed it will formally seek to wind back World Heritage listing of Tasmania's forests. At an upcoming meeting of the UNESCO World Heritage Committee, the government will propose a boundary change to the 170,000 hectare listing that was approved by the committee just last June. The federal government's also delivered a report card on the state of the Great Barrier Reef, which the World Heritage Committee is threatening to add to its endangered list. All of this just days after the Great Barrier Reef Marine Authority decided to allow the dumping of millions of cubic metres of dredge spoil near the reef in what's called the Marine Park. Environment Minister Greg Hunt joins us now. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
First to Tasmania and the forests. 170,000 hectares were added to the state's World Heritage Area last year. The Commonwealth Government has now asked the World Heritage Committee to delist about 74,000 hectares of that. Why?
Well, let's, start with the overview here, because I think that was missing from the introduction. There's long-standing bipartisan agreement on the 1.4 million hectares that has comprised the World Heritage Tasmanian Forest listing. Last year, amid enormous local controversy, 170,000 was added. We have supported and maintained 100 of that 170,000, which comprises every element of national park and reserve. What has been put to the committee for reconsideration is 117 degraded or logged areas. So these are areas which many people feel should never have been included because they significantly detract from what is one of the great World Heritage areas. So,
and yet they were listed.
1.4 million maintained.
These areas were listed by the World Heritage Committee. It considered the approach. It described the area as including superlative natural phenomena, areas of exceptional natural beauty and aesthetic importance. So these 74,000 hectares, have you visited this area to have a look for yourself at the degradation?
Actually, I have been right over the maps, the photographs. We had a mission fly over the area, Senator Colbeck chartered flight. Photographs, extraordinary devastation of some of the areas that were added. These were old logging areas, 117 of them, that were added against the wishes of local community, and many of them seriously and deeply detract.
There is some debate over that. We spoke to Peter Hitchcock earlier. He's an environment and heritage consultant, and he told us that 90% of this area, or 65,000 of the 74 hectares you want excised, are unlogged forest.
Well, I think you'll find that there are 117 seriously degraded areas. That is not in dispute.
Is that 74,000 hectares?
That's a significant part. Now, beyond that, let me make this point. I have gone out of my way and worked enormously hard because many people thought that the entire area, which was never included until a few short months ago, was going to be removed. That is false and wrong. Every national park, every reserve, all of the great forests protected forever.
Except for the 74,000 hectares.
None of those were national parks or reserves previously under any Tasmanian government at any time. So I think that's none of them were considered to be of sufficient quality that throughout the entire history of Tasmania, a long period of Tasmanian Labor and Greens governments, were they ever considered to have been of sufficient quality for including even as a state national park or a state reserve.
Why?
This was added at the last minute, and what we've done is preserve, give bipartisan support to the 1.4 million, preserve and give bipartisan support to the additional 100,000, which includes all the parks, all the reserves, all the great forests.
Presumably the 74,000 hectares you're seeking to get delisted from the World Heritage Protection will be logged. Presumably that's why you want to do it. And yet the timber industry, as I understand it, isn't asking for this. This listing was agreed to by environmentalists and timber workers in the lead up to last year's forest peace deal. It was good enough for the loggers. It seems strange it's not good enough for the government.
Well, what I'd say is this: there's considerable debate within the communities. Having been down in the communities, having met with the communities, the view is very different from the mainland view on this. So
I'm not talking about the mainland, I'm talking about the peace deal that was signed in Tasmania by the timber workers and the environmentalists and the state government.
You actually have a variety of views which is not as universally presented in any way as the way you've set it out there. But quite significantly, all the great forests protected forever, all of the former parks protected forever, all of the reserves protected forever. Only those areas which had been degraded and damaged, of which there are 117 of them, which many, many, many people feel should never have been added, are those which are being reconsidered.
And but also
we'll
just
await the reconsideration of the committee.
Well, yes, and just on that, I mean, it's very unusual. Only two other places, as I understand it, Amman and Dresden, have ever lost their World Heritage status, and neither of those was at the behest of their respective governments. But, it's pretty unusual for a government to ask to have areas delisted from World Heritage protection, isn't it?
Well, this is a minor boundary adjustment. What happened last year, there was a minor boundary adjustment to add these areas. We're retaining 100 of 170,000 hectares with all the parks, all the great forests, all the reserves. So I think the problem was in the process last year. We'll let the committee assess it, but bipartisan support on the 1.4 million, bipartisan support on all of the great forests. And let me say, many had thought that they were going to be excised. False, wrong, untrue and incorrect.
It's 17 to 8 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is the Federal Environment Minister, Greg Hunt. Minister, this action by the government comes at the same time that you're proposing to allow development and the dumping of 3 million cubic metres of dredge material into the Great Barrier Reef. Now, we know UNESCO's World Heritage Committee is concerned enough already by what's happening at the reef that it's given the government until June to show cause as to why the reef shouldn't be placed on its in danger list. How much harder will it be to avoid that listing, that in danger listing, now the decision's been taken to allow the dredge soil to be dumped in the marine park?
Well, I think it's important to put the history here that the Bligh and Rudd governments put together a proposal 5 years ago. This was submitted to the federal government. It came from the Queensland government, the then Queensland Labor government. It was to expand the existing major industrial port. So it was an existing major industrial port. It's an operating port. It was a proposal of 38 million cubic metres. What we have approved, having had it taken with 33 preliminary approvals under the previous government, is something that is 1/12 the size of what was proposed and advanced throughout the overwhelming period of the previous Labor government. So it's 1/12 the size. More significantly than that, the changes we've made are quite dramatic. So it's a radical reduction. It's deeply decreased. And at the broader reef level, what we have also done is preserve and protect Balaclava Island, which was a very significant issue for the World Heritage Committee, worked with the Queensland government to abandon what was a multi-port strategy inherited from the previous government there. The World Heritage Committee had wanted a reduction and a focus to a handful of ports. This will now be focused on five major ports rather than a multi-port strategy, and it's confined to less than three. The development in Queensland along the coast there is less than 3% of the entire coastline, and so we have actually wound back what was proposed, reduced the number of ports that could have been done, and the Abbott Point proposal, which I inherited as a decision that should have been made a year ago but was simply kicked across the line by the previous government, is 1/12 what was proposed throughout the overwhelming bulk of the previous government's life.
But in terms of this decision by the Great Barrier Reef Marine Authority to allow the dumping of 3 million cubic metres of dredge into the marine park, are you confident that that will not increase the chances of the reef being listed as in danger by UNESCO, because in 2007 the CSIRO confirmed that sediment plumes can travel through the reef and beyond due to currents and winds. The sediment could be dumped in an area where there is no coral or seagrass, but you can't be sure it will stay there, can you? Are you concerned about this?
Well, the first question I asked when I came into the job was about the major approvals inherited from the previous government. One of the questions I then followed with was particularly this, and it was the Marine Park Authority themselves that had said, if you took this sand, because it's sand, and you put it into sand, that is a benign environment. If you took this particular combination of sand and you put it on shore, because I explored this, it would have the risk of becoming an acid sulfate problem. What's also important, and I think that to the World Heritage Committee, they wanted a long-term plan for the reef, and we have our Reef 2050 plan with the Reef Trust. They wanted a reduction in the number of ports. They wanted Balaclava Island preserved, and I think they were initially very concerned about the 38 million cubic metre proposal. We've gone in, and this is 1/12 the size of what had been proposed. It's 1/150,000th of the area within the park, and it's 40 kilometres from any significant environmental reef area at all. All inherited, but dramatically reduced, 150% water quality improvement on a permanent basis in the area because of the extraordinary amount of resources that will now be put into cleaning up the Don and the Burdekin River sediment flows.
So sounds
it's
like,
about long-term water quality improvement.
Sounds like you're confident that it won't be listed as in danger. Can I just ask you finally...
I am very hopeful, and I think that the case we presented is extremely strong, and it's important to look at the examples of improvement in coral post-Yarsi, dugong and turtle populations, and seagrass as physical indicators of recovery. Still threats, but physical indicators of recovery.
Just very finally, finally and briefly, Minister, whaling Sea Shepherd claims Japanese ships tried to ram and sabotage its vessels in the Ross Sea on the weekend. Will you investigate this, and if found to be true, will you lodge a protest with Tokyo?
I have ordered an investigation and a briefing on this. I ordered this yesterday within 30 minutes of being informed. There are competing claims. The message is very clear. Even though this is an extraordinary distance, not just from Australian waters, but from Australian search and rescue, so on the other side of the Antarctic world, within the New Zealand waters on the far edge, this must be a message to both parties, whalers and protesters. These are dangerous waters. Nobody can play any games with safety. Nobody can play any games with international maritime law. Everyone must abide by the law. And of course, if there is evidence that either party has breached international maritime law, we will raise it.
Greg Hunt, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Greg Hunt is the Federal Environment Minister.